Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Simon Constable in Edinburgh, Scotland. He writes for Forbes and Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications. But right now we call on Simon Constable, Edinburgh citizen, observing the gathering of the eagles and doves at COP26 in nearby Glasgow, and what this means for the people of Scotland and for the traffic in Edinburgh. The President of the United States, for example, stayed in Edinburgh, and his motorcade back and forth to Glasgow, about an hour's drive is my memory, maybe more, depending on the traffic. But, of course, there's never traffic when you're a chief executive. And also what it means for the people of Scotland going forward, this gathering concerned with climate change. Scotland itself experiences what you'd have to say is moderate weather. However, it's been raining for several days, and is that part of a matrix? Simon, a very good evening to you. I thank you for this, and I begin with your experience of the gathering of eagles. There is a photograph on the front of one of your local exciting papers that feature celebrities. I believe it's called The Star. And there's a photograph of Air Force One landing at the Edinburgh airport. Is that correct? And the headline is to the effect, "Here they come, wasting gas and emitting greenhouse gases," to talk about how we're emitting greenhouse gases. Is that a commonplace observation in Scotland during these days, all those private jets? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, it is a bit of a shock, and it's a great front page. It reads, "The egos have landed. The great and the good and Emmanuel Macron arrive in gas-guzzling jets to warn of environmental Armageddon." I just think that really sums up this situation. A lot of rich and powerful people coming and doing things that they're telling the rest of us not to do. So I guess it's okay when they do it. But it's interesting. We have seen a lot of security, a lot of roadways in Edinburgh, which is about an hour away from Glasgow, have been shut down. Lots of police. You rarely see a policeman or a policewoman anywhere in the city. And that yet over the last few days, they've been everywhere in high-vis jackets and making their presence felt, and a lot of motorcycles too. So very interesting, and certainly a big event for Scotland.
Simon, I want to pay attention to Scotland's climate right away, because you have an unusual expectation of tropical on one side and blowing skies with lots of rain on the other side. It's my memory of Scotland. How has your weather been, and is it part of the conversation about climate change?
Well, absolutely. Climate change affects Britain as a whole. We're an island nation. We're partly on two islands, really. The island of Britain and the part of the island of Ireland. And we get a lot of effects of changes in the Gulf Stream coming over up from the Mediterranean, the Caribbean Sea. And we get wind that's cold and icy coming off the Urals, and it batters us from both sides. So as you've said, it's sort of semi-tropical on the left-hand side, the West Coast, and it can be really freezing and chilly on the East Coast, which I'm on at the moment. We are, however, a temperate island, and so for the most part, we have sort of warmish winters and coolish summers, which some people might find a bit dreary, but we really don't usually have a lot of freezingness. One of the things that you pointed out to me was a very interesting story on the BBC about Britain's longest lasting snow patch has melted away, and it's something that it's only happened 8 times in the last 300 years, and people are getting very worried about this. And there isn't a heck of a lot of snow that remains on mountaintops or hilltops in the UK, and this one's disappeared.
And the experience of COP26, there were leaders of state in all directions, so I want to comment on this. Was it overwhelming, as you anticipated, in Edinburgh? were the shops and the restaurants filled? Because we had one story from Glasgow where the establishment was disappointed, even though it was close to the gathering place along the Clyde River. There was hardly any business. Did you see a change in foot traffic, auto traffic, or restaurateur traffic this week for COP26?
Well, let's deal with the car traffic. The car traffic didn't seem to be any different, although it was clogged because a lot of roads have been closed and cordoned off for presumably for protection reasons for some of the delegates, so that they're not or they run no risk of being attacked. So any change in the traffic is to do with police presence. The rest of it, no. I haven't seen any increase in the foot traffic on the streets here in Edinburgh. And we've got these reports that you mentioned out of Glasgow that say that it hasn't been there. The only thing that people are saying, shopkeepers are saying, is look, the police around there are getting their, you know, their breakfast and their lunch from the shops, but really nothing much else. So no, not a big deal. And also, you've got the trash collectors on strike in Glasgow as well at the moment, and they're not very happy with the Scottish government. I've got to tell you, compared to how New York deals with the UN coming to town every September, this is really a bit of a farce.
We go to what's really important to Scotland right now. Major Hollywood stars are arriving, and I note I didn't know this was going to happen, but the BBC was right on top of the story. Leonardo DiCaprio, who has long been associated with global issues, I believe climate change is one of them, just one of them. I remember he was involved in the campaign Blood Diamonds many years ago, the exploitation of people in Africa. He arrived at the Kew Carbon Garden in Glasgow with much attention. So the leaders of the earth celebrities are leaving or have left Scotland. And the real celebrities, the Hollywood celebrities, the superstars are arriving in Scotland. I expect that this will go on for some days. I understand you're going to take your chances and descend into COP26. Is that correct, Simon?
Yes, I will be. I'll be going over on Thursday and Friday of this week to have a look at what's going on, talk to some people, and see what they have to say. I have this sneaking suspicion that it will be a bit like Davos, the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, where there's a lot of social climbing going on, and I'll be able to witness all that in its disgusting glory. But I will be interested to see what they're planning to do and whether it is talk or real. And we'll get an idea of that next week when I talk to you about it.
We go to national issues. Local boy Simon is also a national reporter. And the BBC is making it clear there's an irony now. All of Europe, but especially in Britain, where there's a winter coming without adequate supplies right now of natural gas for heating or for the industry. The North Sea is filled with oil and gas. And the BBC features the challenge of giving up North Sea extraction. Simon, this is a puzzle, and no one can resolve it. We depend upon energy, fossil fuel energy, to protect our prosperity, to maintain our cities. And there you have it in the North Sea. Hardly, those beds are hardly exhausted. Natural gas, we talked about the last time, they've lit up a couple of natural gas pipelines that were not being used. And you've got fracking possibilities in Scotland and off your coastline that have never been used because there was a political decision not to frack, as we do here in the United States. So is this part of the conversation? How come the prices are so high? How come I'm chilly and have to put on a second jumper when we have these natural gifts right offshore?
Yeah, it is very interesting. I mean, it was only back in 2014 when we had the independence referendum about whether Scotland would become independent, when the Scottish government was saying, we want all the oil for Scotland, it's off Scotland, and therefore England should take none of it. And now the message from Holyrood, which is the Scottish seat of government, is that we shouldn't really be using any oil or natural gas at all. So they wanted to stay in the ground, despite the fact that we're really chilly. I think we're not far off a scandal on this one. If people freeze to death this winter because they couldn't afford their heating, then I think there'll be a lot of things on the front pages, and that will may change. It may change people's minds. But yes, we have a tremendous amount of oil in the North Sea. They are very well paid jobs for the people who go out there and drill and extract that gas and oil. And yet, at the same time, they don't want the government, the current government in Scotland, the Scottish Nationalists and the Green Party, really don't want that to come out of the ground. So that is continually talked about. I think we're a very long way off off being able to shed our reliance on oil and natural gas.
Just in case there was too much attention to the distant future, 2060, 2070, we come to fishing wars between Great Britain and France. This is a Brexit consequence. I read from Rome. Britain stepped up a war of words with France, with Prime Minister Boris Johnson refusing to rule out triggering trade dispute action in these coming days. Within these hours, it is not resolved. I believe Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain, is threatening legal action against France. Mr. Macron was in an unhappy mood when he was traveling to Scotland about fishing wars. It comes down to this, Simon. As of 24 hours ago, things changed quickly in the North Sea. There was a Scottish trawling vessel detained at La Havre because it was part of the dispute between France and England as to who has the right to fish off the Jersey Islands, heretofore associated with Great Britain. It was part of the EU, but no longer. You have a fishing industry in Scotland. It's small, but it's vital, and it's extremely romantic. Has the fishing war touched Scotland yet? Because one of your trawlers is detained.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story. Yes, the fishing war has touched Scotland. It always touches Scotland and the northeast of England too. There's a lot of little fishing towns up and down the coast here. And yes, it is little, but it is vital. There's some very poverty-stricken areas that rely on fishing. What's very interesting here is that Britain has approved 98% of EU requests for fishing permits. And the only thing these boats have to do is to show that the boats themselves or the people operating the boats were fishing for at least one day over the period 2012 to 2016, one day per year. That's it. They had to have been in fishing, you know, fishing in British waters. And then, yep, you get the permit. So 98% of them have been approved. And Emmanuel Macron is saying, oh my goodness, you didn't approve them all. We just want to be able to do what we want to do. So I think this is particularly interesting. And it harks back to my childhood when we had a series of fishing wars with Iceland. And we sent frigates up to Iceland to run through the Icelandic fishing boats' nets and cut them off. It wasn't very nice, pretty testy. Nobody died. I don't think anyone will die in this either. But it is getting nasty. And as an island nation, we rely much more on fishing than perhaps, you know, any other country in Europe.
Simon Constable, he is in Edinburgh, Scotland, and he is a witness to COP26, a global issue, an issue for the solar system. He is also in Scotland, which is observing the changes in expectation of energy for the winter. But we need to turn to the story that is here as well as in Scotland, which is inflation. Is it here? Is it temporary? Is it going to go away when the Federal Reserve responds correctly? When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once-daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.